Turn a blind eye to this and watch freedom disappear like a runaway freight train. Soon the WHO will be able to declare climate change as a health emergency and implement lockdowns to address it. And that's just the tip of a very dark and deranged iceberg. Why countries must leave the World Health Organization. This analysis by Dr. Joseph Mercola has been fact-checked. You. Story at a glance. Countries that treasure individual freedom and respect bodily autonomy have only one choice. Exit the World Health Organization. One Health is the culmination of a grand global plan that places human health, animal health, environmental concerns, food, travel, housing and everything else under a single umbrella, and the WHO is being set up as the central decision maker and overseer of it all. One Health is based on the premise that a broad range of aspects of life and the environment can impact health and therefore fall under the potential to cause harm. The One Health agenda includes medicine, food and agriculture, communications, economics, civil society, global trade and commerce, research, non-communicable disease, mental health, land use, disease surveillance and much more. Behind the scenes, One Health partnerships have already been formed in countries around the world. The One Health network was built and expanded in the US primarily by cutting public health funding. One Health then stepped in with funding but, of course, recipients of One Health grants had to embrace the concept and push it out to others. One Health is also baked into the proposed amendments to the 2005 International Health Regulations, IHR, which the World Health Assembly, WHA, is scheduled to vote on in May 2024. This is how the WHO will gain the authority to dictate how we live our lives. Countries that treasure individual freedom and respect bodily autonomy have only one choice: exit the World Health Organization. It is now beyond clear that the WHO intends to eliminate both of those, and then some, through an international program called One Health, formally adopted by the WHO and the G20 health ministers in 2017.1. The term One Health was first coined by Eco Health Alliance, too. The group that subcontracted risky gain-of-function research to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, WIV, the lab from which SARS-CoV-2 emerged. In hindsight, it's easy to see that the globalists' plan to concentrate power has been in the works for decades, and the playbook is always the same. Give us more power so we can protect you and keep you safe. Alas, every time we give them more power, we find ourselves both less safe and less free. What is One Health? In the video above, Dr. Merrill Nass explains the implications of One Health. In short, our entire way of life, our freedom, our quality of life, indeed, our very humanity, are now at stake. One Health is basically the culmination of a grand global plan that places human health, animal health, environmental concerns, food, travel, housing and everything else under a single umbrella, and the WHO is being set up as the central decision maker and overseer of it all. As explained by Nass, the One Health concept was initially based on the concept that veterinarians and doctors stood a better chance of combating zoonotic diseases, infections that jump species from animal to human, by working together. While that's a reasonable idea, the concept was hijacked by globalists who saw that it could be used to gain power and control over the whole world. The One Health agenda is based on the premise that a broad range of aspects of life and the environment can impact health and therefore fall under the potential to cause harm. The graphic above illustrates some of the areas that fall within the scope of One Health. But that's not all. According to a One Health Commission document, One Health also includes 3. Communications, economics, civil society, global trade, commerce and security, public policy and regulation, research, non-communicable diseases, basically human medicine as a whole, mental health, agricultural land use, which involves forcing farmers off their land, disaster preparedness and response, disease surveillance, the human-animal bond, the relationship with our pets, and much more. The WHO will have power to dictate every facet of our lives. If the WHO's proposed pandemic treaty is enacted, the WHO will have unilateral power to make decisions about all of these areas, and its dictates will supersede and overrule any and all local, state and federal laws. For example, under One Health, the WHO will be able to declare climate change as a health emergency and implement climate lockdowns to address it. It will be able to restrict local and international travel under the guise of environmental and/or human health, implement a vaccine passport requirement as a biosecurity measure, radically alter diets around the world in the name of animal welfare and environmental protection, and much more. One Health is also baked into the proposed amendments to the 2005 International Health Regulations, IHR. This is how the WHO will gain the authority to dictate how we live our lives. As noted by NASS, they're basically trying to lasso everything in the world under One Health. Meanwhile, One Health lacks a conceptual system, real-world evidence and a method for being implemented and evaluated, she notes. The One Health Joint Plan of Action itself is pure word salad. It tells us nothing, really, other than it's about forming a global coalition to drive change and transform life at the global, regional and country level, under the guise of health. The One Health Network has already been built. Behind the scenes, One Health partnerships have already been formed in countries around the world. According to NASS, the One Health Network was built and expanded in the US primarily by cutting public health funding. One Health then stepped in with funding but, of course, recipients of One Health grants had to embrace the concept and push it out to others. The National Institutes of Health, NIH, the National Science Foundation, NSF, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, non-governmental organizations and universities are all disbursing funds to expand the One Health Network in the U.S. Advancement of a One Health approach is even included in the 2023 National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, point 4. The One Health concept is also creeping into the school system, where students are being taught the importance of responsible citizenship, cultural sensitivity, and global mindedness. The same tactics are used to build this network in other countries as well. One Health is baked into IHR amendments. Importantly, as explained by NASS, 5. One Health is also baked into the proposed amendments to the 2005 International Health Regulations, IHR, which the World Health Assembly, WHA, is scheduled to vote on in May 2024. This is how the WHO will gain the authority to dictate how we live our lives. So, people need to be aware that this is coming, it's a runaway train and we have to do what we can to stop it, which we can do by pulling out of the WHO. NASS says, as noted by NASS, in the US, a small group of national legislators are introducing House 6, 7 and Senate Bills 8, 9, 10 to require Senate supermajority approval of the WHO treaty before it's signed. In the UK, Conservative MPs are also warning ministers of an ambition evident for the WHO to transition from an advisory organization to a controlling international authority, and are urging the Foreign Office to block efforts to intrude materially into the UK's ability to make its own rules and control its own budgets. 11. Andrew Mitchell, the Minister of the Foreign Office, has vowed to block any law that prevents the UK from setting its own health policy, but he also stressed that the UK is supportive of the pandemic treaty currently being negotiated by national governments. 12. And that treaty, as it's currently written, completely eliminates member states' sovereignty. People in other countries also need to educate their legislators about the dangers of One Health, the IHR amendments and the pandemic treaty under consideration, and call on them to protect their nations against this stealth takeover. So, to summarize, One Health is a global project to centralize power with the WHO so that it will have the authority to control every aspect of human life, across the world, without regard for national sovereignty or human rights. Any number of countermeasures, including those used during the COVID pandemic, can then be deployed to combat things like climate change, loss of biodiversity, non-communicable diseases, pollution, hunger, poverty and so on. Overblown warnings of doom and other tactics. In a May 25, 2023, Substack article, NASS highlights the three elements used repeatedly to push what is ultimately a global takeover agenda. 13. An overblown warning about impending doom, a totally inaccurate description of the cause, a vague solution that benefits the globalists at the expense of the population at large. These were used during the COVID pandemic. They're also being used to push the false idea that antibiotic resistance is caused by global warming, and therefore requires a more comprehensive approach, a One Health approach. NASS cites a February 2023 report by the UN Environmental Program, UNEP, titled, Bracing for Superbugs: Strengthening Environmental Action in the One Health Response to Antimicrobial Resistance. 14. UNEP is one of the four international agencies that are pushing the One Health agenda globally and, according to this report, the fact that nations are already addressing antibiotic resistance is not enough. Instead, nations must all work together using a singular, coordinated approach that includes environmental-related plans such as national chemical pollution and waste management programs, national biodiversity and climate change planning. countries must also come up with innovative financial incentives and schemes to pay for the proposed action plan and guarantee sustainable funding. UNEP also calls for science policy interfaces, the prioritization of interventions, and the strengthening of surveillance systems. They also stress that all strategies employed must utilize the One Health approach while addressing financial, business, climate, and cultural contexts. Does anyone else see how problematic that can become? To raise just one example, overuse of antibiotics in food production is at the root of the problem. Yet any strategy to address it must take stakeholders' financial and business concerns into account. At the end of the day, it becomes all about protecting and promoting the interests of certain stakeholders, which are primarily NGOs and private businesses. As noted by NAS, 15, antimicrobial resistance is so simple. Bacteria develop mutations that allow them to evade antibiotics, and their new genes are often contained in small plasmids that can be excreted by the cell and shared with other bacteria. Until this present moment, the FDA, CDC, and the WHO all knew that antimicrobial resistance was due primarily to the use of antibiotics in livestock feed, because it increased the rate of growth. 75% of antibiotics by weight are used for this purpose, globally. And people consume these antibiotics when they eat the meat, or the farmed fish, or the chickens. But now we must believe that antibiotic resistance is an environmental problem, which can only be solved by using the One Health approach. Climate-aggravated outbreak threats being pushed. If climate lockdowns and the like sound unbelievable, start paying attention to what you read in the news. For example, PR Newswire 16. Recently announced a partnership between the WHO and the Rockefeller Foundation aimed at genomic surveillance, adoption of data tools for pathogen detection and assessment of climate-aggravated outbreak threats. More and more, we're seeing pandemic threats being tied to things like climate change, so that the first can be used to justify drastic action on the second. As reported by PR Newswire, 17, the Rockefeller Foundation and the World Health Organization, WHO, have announced a new partnership to strengthen the WHO Hub for Pandemic and Epidemic Intelligence. As part of the collaboration, the foundation is investing US $5 million in partners working with WHO to cultivate global networks for pathogen detection and strengthen pandemic preparedness capabilities, including broadening surveillance for diseases worsened by rising temperatures and extreme weather. October 2022 Pandemic Simulation. There's also no doubt that we'll be faced with additional pandemics, because the pandemic threat is what drives the push for global centralization of power. The globalists who practiced what was to become the global COVID response have also told us there will be more pandemics, and at this point, it would be foolish not to believe them. So, what might the next pandemic be, and when might it strike? October 23, 2022, the WHO, Johns Hopkins University and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation co-hosted a tabletop exercise dubbed Catastrophic Contagion, involving a novel, and supposedly fictional, infection called Severe Epidemic Enterovirus Respiratory Syndrome 2025-SERS25, which primarily affects children and teens. These are the same groups that ran Event 201, which turned out to be a pandemic simulation for COVID. According to the Catastrophic Contagion Simulation, SERS-25, an enterovirus like the poliovirus, will originate in Brazil in 2025. Fictional news reports featured in the simulation reported 1 billion cases worldwide and some 20 million deaths, including 15 million children, plus millions more left permanently paralyzed from the infection. Based on this exercise, we can assume, unless additional pandemic exercises are carried out, that the next pandemic will target children and young people. This would be a logical progression, from a totalitarian perspective, considering people are typically willing to do just about anything to keep their children safe. COVID showed them that most people were willing to sacrifice even their most basic freedoms to save grandma. So, what won't they willingly give up if it comes down to saving children? The globalists intend to take our human rights and civil liberties away from us, and to be successful in that endeavor, they will need all the help and cooperation they can get. WHO meetings seizing your right to medical freedom and imposing lockdowns at will, continue. This is a clip of the co-chair stating the world needs a different level of legal mandates, prioritizing actions that may restrict individual liberties. You can't vote on this pic.twitter.com/sc3kukent2h. Bernie's tweets, at Bernice Bofferth, May 24, 2023. Dr. Abdullah Asiri, co-chair of the WHO's Working Group on Amendments to the International Health Regulations, WGIHR, recently stated 18. That the world requires a different level of legal mandates to address future pandemics, and that actions that may restrict individual liberties is a priority. Who is making decisions on our behalf? Interview with James Rogoski, World Health Assembly Analysis and Updates https://t.co/w9vwbrcdm3. Jason Q. Citizen, Jason Olborn, TNT Radio, at Jason Q. Citizen 1, May 25, 2023. Clearly, the idea that unelected and unaccountable globalists are trying to strip away individual freedoms and implement a totalitarian system of global top-down control is not a loony conspiracy theory. It's a plain fact, and we, the public, have no say in this. In the video above, author, researcher, activist and natural health advocate James Rogoski 19 explains the World Health Assembly's WHA role in the WHO's takeover. Part of what makes it so difficult to stop this power grab is because the WHA is the body that will vote on the IHR amendments and the pandemic treaty, but the public is not allowed to know who, from their country, is part of the WHA. Rogoski tried filing a Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, request to get a list of the U.S. delegates and was told there's no such list. So, we can't know who the WHA delegates are until they've signed in at the meeting and cast their vote on our behalf. Needless to say, this means we cannot contact them beforehand to tell them how we think they should vote on a given issue. That said, Rogoski was able to determine that Xavier Becerra, U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, is the U.S. lead delegate. Past the point of no return, all freedom will be lost. It's now beyond imperative that people understand where we're headed, and that the COVID measures weren't just responses to a given pandemic, but rather were the foundation for a totalitarian one-world government, where human rights and freedoms will no longer exist. This is likely the biggest challenge mankind has ever faced as a collective, and it requires strong collective resistance. In order for that resistance to occur, however, people must understand what's going on and how all of these various programs, treaties, partnerships and agendas work together. They're all part of the same scheme, which is to implement a one-world totalitarian technocratic government under which humans have no intrinsic value. Call on Congress to withdraw U.S. from the WHO. While the U.S. House and Senate have introduced identical bills to thwart the WHO's power grab through the proposed pandemic treaty, that still might not protect us if President Biden signs it, because the treaty is specifically written to circumvent the Senate approval process. 20. A far more effective strategy would be for Congress to withhold its annual contributions to the WHO, and then withdraw the U.S. from the WHO altogether. I believe it may be worth supporting all these strategies. So, please, contact your representatives and urge them to support the No WHO Pandemic Preparedness Treaty Without Senate Approval Act withhold funding for the WHO support U.S. withdrawal from the WHO. We also need to protect our nation against the IHR amendments. To that end, the World Council for Health has launched a global hashtag Stop the WHO campaign. Here's how you can get involved. 21. Speak. Raise awareness on the ground and online. Use articles, posters, videos. Act. Campaign through rallies, political mobilization, legal notices and cases and similar campaigns. Collaborate with health freedom coalitions such as the World Council for Health. Explore activist toolboxes such as World Council for Health Stop the WHO campaign and StopTheWHO.com. Engage global indigenous leadership to take a united stand against the WHO's IHR. Notify World Health Assembly country delegates to oppose the IHR amendments, if you can identify them. Activate people's parliaments, legislatures or referendums to oppose power grabs. One Health is also baked into the proposed amendments to the 2005 International Health Regulations, IHR. This is how the WHO will gain the authority to dictate how we live our lives.